Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Without any further ado, let me jump right into it. In terms of last night's beatdown, and it was that, another beatdown, it had to be the least surprising, but still the most shocking run I've ever seen. UConn really did just rip back-to-back natties without anybody even giving them a game. And of course they did. But also, holy crap, did that really just happen? And how did that really just happen? Especially in this day and age. UConn really just came back to this tournament as the defending champs and the number one overall seed with an enormous target on their back and basically told the entire world, come and get us. Essentially begged the entire world, come and get us. And nobody could even play with them again. Nobody. They just beat the field by a combined 140 points. That is the best point differential in the history of that tournament. So saying that this has been one of the most impressive and dominant two-year stretches in the history of the sport is not even a take. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's crazy. It's unprecedented. But it's not like Dan Hurley did not warn you all. 4 years ago, he told everybody, you better get us now because we are coming.
You know, people better get us now. That's all. You better get us now because it's coming.
I mean, that's incredible. That's incredible. And I know a lot of you like him even less after me resetting that, which I'll get to a little bit later on, about what's with all the hate for this guy. But that, just step back from that for a minute. That is incredible. Like, dude really does have a crystal ball. He put the entire world on notice back in 2020. And he wasn't talking out his ass after a devastating loss. He was calling his shot. He let the entire world know, we are coming.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's coming, and we're coming to kick your ass. All your asses. We're coming to take every last one of you on, and we will be the last one standing. So you better get us right now. And then he went out, and he did it. And he backed it all up. Twice. And not only is he standing on top of the mountain, Ray, looking down on everybody else, not only is it Hurley and UConn and everybody else, nobody else even gave them a game in the last 2 years in the tournament. Nobody even belonged on the same floor as these guys the last 2 years in the tournament. And he did it during a period where it was supposed to be impossible to do. This is why it is Hurley and UConn and then everybody else. That's why he's the best coach and that's the best program in America right now. Not even a Purdue team, the second best team in the country, that got 37-10 from their superstar center, one of the best players in decades. Not even they had any shot. Essentially, the big-on-big matchup that we were all waiting the entire tournament to see did live up to the hype, but the rest of the Boilermakers could not measure up. Just like nobody else could measure up over the last two tournaments. And of course, that was Dan Hurley's game plan. Let Edie cook. Shut everybody else down. And of course, that plan worked to perfection. One made three-pointer was never going to put Purdue in a position to win that game, much less compete. And getting annihilated on the offensive boards was never going to put Purdue in a position to win that game. So nobody should be surprised that Purdue was never in a position to win that game. And again, no shame in that. I'm not here to crack on Purdue. No shame in that. In fact, credit for getting as far as they did. Credit for coming back and rebuilding themselves and owning that horrible loss last year to FDU, a 16. Give them some freaking credit. So no shame in getting beaten the way they were last night, because nobody in the last two tournaments has been able to put themselves in a position to beat this UConn team or even take this UConn team to the wire or even stay within single digits. The closest anybody got to the Huskies in a final score over the last two tournaments was 13 points. And the head coach is in everybody's face, and still nobody can touch these guys. It's incredible. And frankly, I love it. I love it all. What's not to love? I'm serious. No, I mean that. Seriously. What's not to love? That's not rhetorical. I want to know from you haters. What's not to love? You have to help me out here, haters, because I don't really get what your problem is. I know that a lot of you guys can't stand these guys, and especially Dan Hurley. I'm just not really sure why. Why? Because he wins too much? Because he's too dominant? Because he made the tournament boring? Because he and they talk too much smack? Because he's up in everybody's grill? Because he never takes a step back? Because of his facial gestures and contortions? I mean, what is it, haters? Make up your mind. Is it the fact that his team is untouchable and he's not afraid to let everybody know? Or is it because he's too animated on the sidelines while he's coaching his untouchable team to dominant performances? I mean, what is it? Yeah, I know. I know what the answer is. As always, the answer is yes.
Great question. Yes. Next question.
It's all those things. You hate him and them for all those things. Or maybe it's just obnoxious UConn fan. I mean, Dan Hurley himself said it last week. Maybe people hate the team because the fans are obnoxious as bleep on social media.
And our fan base, again, is obnoxious as on social. So everyone hates us.
Not me. I mean, I love that he even said that. Everybody hates us because our fans are obnoxious as bleep on social. Not me. I don't hate
us.
You know what I like? I like coaches who never lose. I like coaches who could talk smack and back it up. Personally, I dig excellence. Let me just say this.
I personally believe
I really like excellence. I personally believe if he was your coach, you would love the guy. And let me also say this. There's a damn good reason Lexington is all jacked up right now. A damn good reason Kentucky wants this guy so badly. The reason is he's the best coach in the country, running the best program in the country right now. Unfortunately, Lex Vegas' early returns are not looking great on Dan coming to save your Kentucky Wildcats, at least not if you take Dan at his word from last night.
You intend to be back at UConn next year. You're not going to entertain any conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that. Yeah.
We can maybe arrange a press conference for Mrs. Hurley in the morning. Congratulations, Coach.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she'll answer that question better than I can.
In other words, sorry, Lex. You know, as the saying goes, happy wife, happy life. And we all know that wifey washes the lucky Red Dragon boxers. So whatever she says goes. She's in charge. Now, technically, the old man did not really answer the question, did he? Look, I know Kentucky wants him. Obviously. Why wouldn't you? The question is, why would Dan Hurley want Kentucky right now? Dude has everything he needs right where he is, and UConn offers him something that no other program can. A chance at a three-peat. A chance to do what only John Wooden ever pulled off, at a time when it should be utterly impossible to pull off. And yet, Hurley absolutely has a look at it. He's got a look at doing the impossible. So why would he want to go to Lexington, clean up their mess, shoulder all of that pressure and responsibility and heat that comes with that gig? I'm not saying that he can't handle it. This guy clearly can handle anything. But why would he want all that? I can't think of a single reason. Why would he leave what he has for all of that in Las Vegas? I cannot think of a single reason. Well, maybe one reason. Maybe one. The paper, the bag, the cash, money, of course. The obvious answer right there, straight cash, homie. So I don't know exactly what the number is. I've seen some reports that he's making in the neighborhood of $5 million. I would imagine after going back-to-back, he's probably in line for a raise to be in a nicer neighborhood. But if that number right now is around $5 million, I think it's pretty safe to assume that UConn is not going to be able to match what Kentucky has to offer. I mean, what if Kentucky rolled up on Dan, Mrs. Hurley, and offered her and them double?
Double it.
Exactly. What if Trevor Price was there too, and Kentucky said, hey, whatever your number is, we'll double it.
Double it.
And what if all of a sudden he was looking at an eight-figure offer? Might that change his mind? Or maybe the better question, might that change her mind? Doesn't seem likely, but doesn't seem impossible. Either way, you should enjoy the good times while they're here, Storrs. Maybe they'll always be here. Maybe he'll never go anywhere. Although I know you don't need me to tell you that. Enjoy the good times, I mean. Because, believe me, I remember the celebrations of last year. You remember the ones that involved tearing down a lamppost and using it as a battering ram. Well, apparently, I'm not the only one who remembers that. Campus police remember that as well, which is why they actually removed a bunch of the light posts on campus last week. But apparently, they did not get every last one of them. Also, a UConn student found a new object to use as a battering ram. Check out this report from NBC Connecticut last night.
But a moment marked by a large police presence, with several dozen UConn officers intervening in the crowds and state police setting up a perimeter.
They're aware and making sure everyone's safe, so I like that.
Despite that, UConn's campus sustained some damage. A few light posts torn down, some outdoor seating destroyed, a flower pot tipped over, and some tearing street signs out of the ground, throwing them through the air. Drone Ranger catching the moment it turned into vandalism.
One of those signs ripped up from the street came right through this rec center window, sending shards of glass all over the gym floor with a cleaning crew right nearby.
And what? Yeah, I'm not going to say that I'm going to condone it, but I will ask, how about them setting up a, quote, perimeter? A perimeter for what? A light post perimeter? How about the reporter saying, and a student ripped a street sign out of the ground and threw it through a store window?
Out of the ground, throwing them through the air. Drone.
Yeah, well, if they're throwing them through the air, be glad that spinning daisy cutter of a street sign didn't go through somebody's heart. Like that table leg back in the day when Ron Artest was running in that local game and a guy died. Alvin, you're incredible.
They were so competitive. They threw they broke a piece of leg from a table and they threw it. It went right through his heart and he died.
Out of the ground, throwing them through the air.
Alvin, you're a legend. Do you know, if James Kelly were sitting at that console right now, that would have taken him 9 months to pull those two things together. It's kind of an unfair comp, but that was incredible, Alvin, the way you juxtaposed those two things. You're welcome. How about Ron Artest, the Ron Artest back in the day, in some local run where somebody snapped off a table leg and ran it through a guy's heart and killed him in a local run? Now, is that true? I don't really know. But I'm not going to let the facts get in the way of an amazing story. And maybe it is true.
He died right on the court. So, like,
I don't know. I would think that if you have local runs that are that violent or that aggressive or even that competitive, maybe you keep all the tables away from the court before somebody weaponizes one of the table legs. Anyway, under the circumstances, I think they were pretty well behaved last night. I mean, they need to go back-to-back. I guess when they run out of lampposts to rip out of the ground, they just start yanking street signs out of the ground. And then next year, when they go for that three-peat, and they rip out all the caution signs and stop signs and horses crossing signs. Man, they'll find something else. Because there's always something else. Trees. There will be something else in the ground that they can rip out and weaponize. Or maybe that's just the store's version of a horsecraft sando. You see, in stores, if they're celebrating a championship, that means a door or a wall or a window has to have a large metal object rammed through it.
Out of the ground.
They don't need to grease lampposts because nobody's going to climb lampposts. Instead, they're going to rip them right out of the ground and ram them through something. Those are just the rules in stores. They batter your ass on the court. Then they batter buildings on campus with metal objects that they rip out of the ground. That's how they roll. The standard is the standard. And right now, that is the standard in college hoops. The world starts, the college basketball world anyway, in stores. Seriously, it's them and everybody else. It's Dan Hurley and everybody else. It's UConn and everybody else. Flat out domination. They've won 6 natties since 1999. It's absolutely amazing to think there was actually a conversation. Well, they're not really a blue blood. The hell they're not. 6 natties in 25 years.
It's coming.
Oh, it's here. It's here. It's been here. It was already here before they ran right through that tournament this year after losing 5 of their top 8 scorers. And they're doing it the right way. And I know a lot of you want to hate on Dan Hurley. You're barking up the wrong tree. You got the wrong guy. I love him. So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer 2 free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. He is Matt Norlander. Matt, it is awesome to have you on the morning after the natty, my man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling wonderful. Yeah, it has been a very long weekend, but a wonderful weekend, an incredible tournament. UConn's dominance, you know, we have had now 2 straight years here, Jim, where we've had a just a historic run. So we were low on drama, but you know me, man, I love this blessed tournament. I love this Final Four every year. Running on fumes, but I am absolutely fired up and ready to go for you, buddy.
I'm with you, my brother. Low on drama, but high on excellence. UConn rolls right through the tournament field for the 2nd year in a row, and Dan Hurley did it, Matt, after losing 5 of his top 8 scorers from last year's team. So the question is, how did he do it? How were they even more dominant this year than they were last year?
I asked Dan Hurley that very question on the court last night for CBS Sports HQ, and basically what he told me was it comes down to recruiting not just the right guys, and that is, I understand that can sound like so cliche, but I am just telling you, knowing Dan Hurley, having known him more than a decade now, he is brutally honest as a recruiter, and you have to be wired a very specific way to be able to play for him and that program, because it is going to be an experience unlike anything you've ever gone through before as a player. He is going to hold you accountable. You're going to learn how to play a high-level, intelligent style of basketball. You're going to be very selfless in how you do it, and you're going to commit all the way. And a practice in the middle of November is going to feel like you're getting ready to play the national title game the next day. And so what they've been able to do is have this changeover, identify the right guys. Cam Spencer, I was actually late last night, got back to the CBS hotel, and I was talking with Jay Wright, and he said Dalton Connect was an amazing transfer, you know, probably the transfer of the year, but Cam Spencer and what he did for this team, he was the most important transfer of the season. And in light of what we saw him do for the Huskies in this tournament, it's hard to argue against what Jay told me. It's incredible and a great balance. And you'll notice the way that UConn did it both years, they have had star freshmen. Stephon Castle shine on the big stage here, but they've had key components, guys who are longtime players and an injection of transfer talent. It's not easy for teams and coaches to get that magical combination, but UConn, Hurley, that staff was able to do so. And in my opinion, and I wrote this overnight for CBSSports.com, I think this is one of the best teams in college basketball in decades, and I'm not just talking two decades, Jim. I'm talking three or four decades. And given where we are with the portal and NIL, we're never going back to the way that it was. There is a real chance that we will never see this again. And I'm not saying specifically back-to-back. I'm saying back-to-back championships from a program doing it by rolling teams. 12 wins in a row in the tournament. They covered the spread every single time and won by at least 13 points every single time. I was in awe of last year's tournament run. That was an average of 20 points per game. This one was 23.3. It's insane what Dan Hurley and that program just did, and we can't normalize it because I don't know if we truly will ever see a two-year run like this ever again.
Matt Norlander breaking it all down for us. So, Matt, having said that, given the changing landscape of the sport, to the point you just made, the portal, the player turnover, if we'll never see a two-year run like that ever again, and I tend to agree with you, if repeating is virtually impossible, what do you think their chances are for a three-peat?
I mean, I'm going to answer the question, but I'm very aware of the fact that depending on what I say here, it's going to eventually make it back to Dan Hurley, a man who has never shied away from letting me know about his slice and how I didn't give him enough credit that he felt he deserved. I picked this team 13th in the preseason, and about 2 weeks into November, he made sure to remind me that I was an absolute idiot for doing so. Having said all of that, I can't put it past them for at least a remote possibility. I mean, it's insane to think about everyone they're going to lose. We could look up in a few years and see that four of the five guys in the starting lineup are successful NBA players. You're telling me that they're going to reload like this and have the, you know, the development of the younger guys and truly be a top 10 team in vying for a third straight national championship? I'm not going to say it can't happen. I'm going to say if that does happen, then the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame needs to break its own rules and protocols and induct Dan Hurley in the next day, because he's going to the Hall of Fame, by the way. That's the other thing with this, getting two in a row. He's going to join his father in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, and they'll be in the conversation. We'll see what they do in the portal. But even Hurley said last night in the postgame presser, and then I used this anecdote to close out my column, Jim. I was walking with him on the court, and after he had cut the net, it was around his neck, and he's kind of making his way from one place down to the other on the court, and he's trying to soak it all in. But then out of nowhere, he asked the staffer, hey, where's the East Regional next year? Just kind of like already thinking ahead, and they tell him it's Providence is the first weekend site, and then it's Newark, New Jersey, Prudential Center. And then he gives it a beat, and he goes, and where's the Final Four? This dude was 25 minutes removed from triple zeros on the clock, and he's already wondering about the path to get to a third straight championship. There was no one in the sport like Dan Hurley.
So, no, definitely a different cat. Like, he allowed himself 25 minutes to enjoy that. So, having said that, Matt, given how relentless he is, given how obsessed he is, and given what their culture is, how much catching up do the other national powers have to do to get where the Huskies have been the last 2 years?
I think there's massive ground to make up. That's not to say that other national powers can't ultimately, we won't look up next March and see, you know, UConn on the three line and other schools as a one or two seed having done better. But look at where they are. Right now, UConn indisputably has the claim as the best program in the sport. not the best team. It's the best program. Like, it's operating at the top of the mountain, okay? And it's not really close right now. And Dan Hurley is the best coach in the sport. You know, Bill Self has maintained their reputation for a long time, and some people might even say, give me a random group of five to start a program, I'm going to take Bill Self over everyone. You still can. I won't fight with you. But Dan Hurley has a major, major claim to that. And so I think a lot of schools are going to do a lot of thinking, looking at how UConn did it. Now, Hurley, as you know so well, Jim, how he is wired and how he does it, it is different. I think I even saw you tweet something on Monday night about, like, how can you not like what this UConn team is or what Dan Hurley is? I am all the way there with you, man. I get it. Sometimes the in-game antics, the facial expressions, he was particularly all over the officiating in the first half last night to a level that I had not seen from him in a while. But I think his presence, his self-awareness, everything that that he's willing to talk about, from his vulnerability to, you know, doing yoga, trying to be mindful and admitting his faults, is a wonderful thing for the sport. And if coaches and programs can't replicate who he is as a person, that's more than okay. But look at what he has done. His assistants, Kamani Young, Luke Murray, very, very tough to emulate. And catching up ground on UConn will not be easy, because this program, which is, you know, established a blue blood situation as of last year's national championship, now, in my opinion, we have a modern dynasty.
You and I are on the same page, Matt. I mean, what's not to like? What's not to respect? What's not to get? The guy's dominant, absolutely dominant. He's built a monster. Matt, before you go, let me ask you this. The tournament might be over, but there's still a lot of news in college basketball. John Calipari agrees to take the Arkansas job. You yourself posted on the X platform after Kentucky lost to Oakland on March 21st, and I quote, "There's a very real chance that John Calipari has coached his last game at Kentucky," end of quote. Of course, you were right. So what is your reaction to Cal landing in Arkansas?
My reaction is that news breaking on the Sunday of the Final Four was something I will never forget. Cal, we couldn't have waited a little bit longer, because, you know, obviously it's not yet official. I'm not surprised by it. I'll try and be quick with you here, Jim, but I, you know, going back weeks and weeks, I had been told that John Calipari was, you know, not in love with his situation in Lexington anymore. He actually did have interest and intrigue in the Ohio State opening after that was official, when Chris Holtman got fired in February. The timing was never going to line up, and it never got super serious, but he was side-eyeing some stuff. And I had been told previously, hey, listen, if the Arkansas job ever came open, just keep an eye on that, because that's one that he has some real affinity for, in part because he's got a long-standing relationship with the Tyson family, who is, you know, among the biggest donors to the entire university. I think it's best for Calipari and for Kentucky that this is happening. I think it is a godsend, particularly for Calipari, because for his own mental well-being, I think it is a benefit. And maybe he can make a good push here. We await, to see what next official steps come with this. With him in the Arkansas job, but it, at this point, it's just a matter of, you know, T's and Q's and filling all that out. But it's a fascinating story, because he's leaving a top three job in the sport to take a top 20 job in the sport. Arkansas is incredible, but can he invigorate that program and get it to the levels? And I know you are tight with Musk. Musk got him to 3 second weekends in a row after they had not made the Sweet 16 since 1996. It's going to be very interesting to see Calipari and those colors remaining in the SEC. In meantime, a search will be underway here for Kentucky's opening, and I'm very intrigued to see how long that takes and who ultimately takes that job, because they're going to try some big heavy hitters, and I do think ultimately it's Kentucky, Jim. They're going to get a big name. It's just a matter of how far down the line they go and who ultimately says yes.
Super quick follow. Who do you think that'll be?
Oh, all right. As we speak in real time here, I did check in with sources about, like, the Billy Donovan stuff. I'm going to say it's not going to be him. Not that it can't be him, but as things stand right now, he's coaching the Bulls. They're trying to get into the playoffs and all this. I just don't know if that's going to wind up being the thing. He's turned Kentucky down twice. If you made me guess this morning, and I got to be clear on this, it is a guess, because I checked in on the Kentucky stuff this morning. Like, the athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, hasn't officially triggered this search, so we'll see. I'm going to tell you, Scott Drew, but Jim, we have to wait and see. There are a lot of intriguing candidates out there. Scott Drew is probably the best blend of qualified candidate, how he is wired. I think he'd actually be a really good match with Mitch Barnhart, the Kentucky athletic director. So that's my initial guess. But this search, it'll evolve over the course of the week, and I wouldn't expect it to be a super, super quick turnaround. obviously a very big job. A lot of important people in that state are going to want to have some input, but ultimately it's going to be Mitch Barnhart's call. And we see where Kentucky goes as we have a seismic shift. What happened Sunday, Jim, very few things could run alongside a national championship game between 2-1 seeds, but John Calipari in Arkansas, that was an earthquake and kind of a news event that we'll remember years and years and years from now.
What a tremendous conversation the morning after. He is a CBS Sports senior college basketball writer. He is a CBS Sports HQ college basketball analyst. He is also the co-host of the Ion College Basketball Podcast. Matt, I know it was a long weekend, a long night. Appreciate you, brother, very much. Thanks for doing that, and I will run you down again soon. Great job by you as always, Matt.
Yeah, Jim, you know, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for having me on again and again this season. And have a wonderful spring. It's always an absolute joy to be on your show.
Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Mike in Hartford. Hey, Mike, what's up? How are you?
Hey, Jim. I was at the Final Four this week on Saturday, a place, by the way, where UConn all time is 12-1 in Final Four games, and now 6-0. That's right, Jim. 6-0 in national title games. Jim, this is a program now that has passed Indiana, Kansas, and Duke for national titles. And believe it, Jim, it will be the story of the 21st century, much like UCLA is the story of the 20th century. We've now moved on. UConn, 21st century, UConn Huskies, the program that you want to be in. No, Dan Hurley, they're too good. He's too good for Kentucky. He's too good for Lexington. He's at Storrs, Connecticut, where he's going to win title after title, year after year, and use the NIL to a positive advantage, because this time last year, Jim, no one knew who Cam Spencer was. He was at Rutgers, and you could transfer now and not sit out a year. So you could just reload year after year with transfers, NIL money, and get going. Jim, a three-peat in Storrs. Can you feel it? I'm out.
Maybe. Maybe. I would have said that a repeat was near impossible. Maybe. See, the thing is, he's not building it that way, though. It's just part of the way he's building it. He'll use the portal. So, let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. The product is nothing. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order three packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. All right, let's go to Orlando. Rich, it's good to have you. Rich, appreciate the phone call. How are you?
Romy, what's happening, my friend? What do you say?
What do you say? What's
hey,
good?
Listen, as a guy who's been in between the lines, I'm guessing probably 8.5 out of your 10 callers have never suited it up and walked in between the lines. But the guys that have would absolutely love Coach Hurley in their corner on the sidelines. Those players absolutely love playing for that guy. He's an animal, and he's got your back. Jim, that's it. I'm out. And war Coach Hurley, war UConn from Orlando. You rock.
Nice job, Rich. Appreciate it. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix, or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. I'm talking about Andy Dalton. Andy, it's great to have you on the show. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, good. So I want to talk to you about the broadcast boot camp, of course, but let me talk for a minute about the journey you've had. You've had a long and accomplished career in the NFL. I'm curious, how are you approaching your role with the Panthers in helping Bryce Young develop while at the same time staying ready to play when called upon?
Yeah, you know, that's the position I'm in right now. You know, I've got a ton of experience. I've played for, had 12 years of starting experience, and so for me, I'm just trying to bring that experience to Bryce, help him out in any way that I can, tell him how I see things when we get into these meetings, and help him on the field, all the stuff that goes into it. So last year, obviously, was a big growing year for him. He learned a lot. He had to handle a lot of adversity. But, you know, it's been a fun room to be in. It's been great to be a part of it with Bryce. He's built the right way. He's got a great head on his shoulders, and I think this year is going to be big for him.
Andy Dalton joining us. In fact, you hit on two things that I was going to ask you about. You mentioned that you started for 12 years. I'm curious, you don't play as long as you have in the NFL. You don't start 12 years unless you have a great belief in yourself. So how did you go about processing, when you've always been that guy and the guy, how did you go about processing being number two on the depth chart? And then what was the adjustment like for you to make in terms of mindset to make that work?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, it was definitely hard at times this past year, you know, knowing that, especially with, just seeing other guys across the league, they were getting opportunities to play, and for me having to sit back and watch, it was definitely tough. But I think at the end of the day, you know, you want to be where you are and make the most of the opportunity that you have in front of you. And for me, it wasn't playing last year, but it was being the right type of teammate, the guy that, guys could go to whenever they needed something to voice my opinion on things and to, have an impact that was more off the field than it was on the field. And so I think it's just kind of where you're at, you know, obviously as a competitor, and I would have loved to been the one that was going to get to be out there and playing on Sundays, but, that wasn't the case. But, you know, I definitely still view myself as I don't think there's 32 that are better than me. And, I feel like I've having that mindset. I mean, you don't play this long if you don't have that mindset.
I can appreciate that response. Andy Dalton's joining us. In terms of playing this long, you were among the 12 quarterbacks that were selected in the 2011 draft. That's a group which includes Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert. So what's it represent to you to have the kind of longevity you've had in this league, a league that is filled with so much turnover?
Yeah, you know, I've been blessed. I've been able to play this game for a long time. And another guy you didn't mention was Tyrod Taylor, who's still going.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's one of those things that every time I see Tyrod end, I've seen Blaine in the last couple of years too. It's like, man, we're still going. And so I'm just thankful that, you know, I've been able to play this game for a long time.
Hey, you're preaching in the choir. I've always thought that Tyrod Taylor was a much better player than he got credit for. And by the way, he's still out there, so clearly he has great value. Going back to Bryce Young for a minute, any rookie quarterback is going to face a learning curve, even steeper for Bryce in the midst of a two-win season. You touched on it, but overall, how do you think that he handled the challenges that he faced in year one in the NFL?
Yeah, I thought he handled it well. You know, he's never in his life had a season like that and had to handle the adversity that he had to deal with. It was a tough year, and then you throw in, you know, losing your head coach after 11 games and changes on offense and all the things that went into it. It was tough. And so I think for him, I thought he handled it well, and I kept telling him, just, like, stay the course. You know, this thing is going to get better. It's going to improve. And now I think what we have done this off season, you know, bringing in some guys, you know, bringing in a couple guards on the offensive line, you know, different things, trading for Deontay Johnson. I think it's getting built the right way where, it's going to set him up to have a better year.
We're talking to Andy Dalton. He's appearing courtesy of the NFL's Broadcast Bootcamp, which we'll get to in 1 minute. Andy, I wanted to ask you about the 2020 season when you were in Dallas. I'm curious, when you look back on that year, what was it like to share a quarterback room with Dak Prescott as he dealt with injuries, and what was it like to play for Jerry Jones?
You know, I really enjoyed getting to play, have that year with the Cowboys and to be in the room with Dak. You know, I learned a lot from Dak. I got to see him, see how he works, see how he operates, and see how he was around that building and for that team. And so it was cool to be there, to see him, to see his type of leadership and everything that goes into it. It gave me an appreciation for Dak that I didn't have before I got there. And so, I really enjoyed my year with the Cowboys. And same with Jerry. I mean, obviously, it was a little bit of a different year with COVID and everything. He wasn't around as much as I'm sure he is normally. But, I had a great experience playing for the Cowboys.
So, Andy, one last thought before we move on to what you're here to talk about. I'm really curious about your move with the Bears, because you were there in 2021, and they used the first-round pick, of course, on Justin Fields that season. I'm curious, what was your relationship like with him? And then how much do you think he'll benefit from a change of scenery now that he's ended up with the Steelers?
Yeah, you know, I've been a fan of Justin. Obviously, it was a different situation going into it. You know, for me being the starter to start that thing, then when I got hurt, he took over. And you know, obviously, again, another guy that had some growing pains in his first year. But you know, I thought for him, he kind of really came into his own the last couple years. You know, Justin's got a ton of talent and all the stuff that he can do. He's going to have explosive plays and everything. It was a tough situation for him because it didn't really matter how good he played this past year. They were still going to have the first pick, and he couldn't play himself out of that. And so, you know, and then for him to have to handle the talk all, you know, towards the end of the season and off season of, okay, are they going to hold on to him? Are they going to move on? Are they going to draft? You know, potentially Caleb Williams with the first pick. You know, I think all the stuff that he's had to do with the last couple years. I mean, I think for him, a change of scenery is going to be nice. Obviously, it's going to be a different situation in Pittsburgh with Russell being the guy to start off. But I know he'll be ready. I know he's excited for the new opportunity.
All right. So Andy Dalton joining us. So as somebody who stood and answered questions and was a starter in the NFL for 12 years, you know what it's like to deal with the media. And then this is not the only media exposure you're involved with today. You're going to take part in the NFL's Broadcast Bootcamp, which started today at NFL Media Studios in Inglewood here in SoCal. It's going to run through Thursday. I'm curious, why were you interested in participating in this program, given the experience you have already, and what is on the agenda this week? What goes on?
Well, I think it's a different way of seeing the media. You hear it from one, you see it from one side where you're usually the one getting interviewed. But there's also a ton of different media outlets, from, you know, the in-studio stuff to calling a game to interviewing to broadcasting to podcasts, all the different stuff that goes into it. And so we come to this thing to get the knowledge and get to hear from people that have been doing this for a long time, to get to see the different side of the business of it all, and have a chance to learn and grow and from people that have done this at a high level. So, you know, that's one thing that it's going to be fun to be here, fun to see all the ins and outs that go into this, the whole media side of the NFL and broadcasting and everything.
So I'm curious, how much thought have you given to it? For instance, would you rather be a studio person? Would you rather call games? Would you rather have a podcast? Would you rather be somebody who can do a little bit of everything? What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. You know, that's another reason why you come here, because you're going to get opportunities to be exposed to all the different things ways of doing the media, and you might find things that you like more than others, and you might, you know, realize that, hey, you like something that you didn't thought you would like coming in. So for me, I'm just kind of open it all. I'm here to just kind of soak it all in and gain as much knowledge as I can.
Have you done it before, or is this the first time?
This is the first time. So it's going to be a great experience for me.
All right, good. Glad to hear it. Andy Dalton joining us. And again, he's appearing courtesy of the NFL's Broadcast Boot Camp. Andy, great to have you on the show. Have fun with that. And really nice to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
Good night now!